So in today's second reading, we have St. Peter talking about how we in our world today are awaiting a new heavens and a new earth. That's what we're waiting for. He speaks of how the coming of the Lord now will be like a thief. And when he comes, when he gets back, he's on his way right now. What we don't know is when he'll arrive. But when he arrives, the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire. Now, at this time, the chemical table of elements was only four: air, wind, fire, and earth. And the earth and everything done on it will be found out. And that's the second coming. And so what we await as Catholics is a new heavens and a new earth, which means the current earth that we live on is passing away. It's slipping through our fingers, and we can't stop it. The only way you could stop it is if you could kill Christ again, which we can't. That's the worst we can visit anyone on this earth, is take their life from them. And we can't do that to Jesus anymore. He's beyond the grasp of our ability to kill him. We can't. He's raised from the dead. But you know, there's something about this whole situation that we need to take stock of as well, because the world that is passing away, if you really take stock of that world and pay attention to it and what it is, according to the scriptures, and even in our experience some of the time, what we experience is a world where there's a great deal of self-assertion and a competition of egos, where we are clashing with each other a lot. It's a world where we find the powerful preying upon the weak. I mean, the example of abortion, that's a classic case of very powerful people preying upon the weakest among us, a child in the womb. But see, that really shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus Christ came into our world, the Son of the living God. He put on offer authentic, honest, unadulterated, pure love, and he met conniving, manipulation, and eventually a violent death. Now, that says something about our world. It also says it's somewhat indifferent to authentic love, because that's what Jesus puts on offer for us, authentic love. And his mother is constantly trying to get us on board with this. And that's the challenge. And why then would we want a world like this to go on? Peter even says, the Lord does not delay his promise as some regard delay, but he is patient with you. He doesn't wish anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then he goes on to ask, what are we then to be as we seek to hasten the coming of that day, when he'll make all things new? Death will end. The powerful preying on the weak, the indifference to suffering. And that's your problem. All of that ends. Why would we want to stop this world from passing away? And yet, that's our conundrum, isn't it? Isn't that our conundrum? We hear a lot said about, yes, as Catholics in the world, we have to improve the world. And yes, we do. We need to do that. But we also need to realize it's not the ultimate end of our life. It's passing away. And see, this is what Advent right now is focused on, is the coming of Christ. the second coming, when he transforms everything. And everything done on the face of the earth will be manifest at that point. Now, Jesus also taught us that he's sending you and I like sheep among wolves. And if you look at his own life, again, it testifies to that truth. He's born at Bethlehem, a little baby, again, very vulnerable, very lowly. And Herod's out to kill him. A little ewe lamb in the midst of wolves. So Joseph, in a dream, is alerted, and they have to run off to Egypt. And then he stays hidden for 30 years, very quiet in Nazareth, lovingly growing up under the care of Mary, and eventually Joseph passes away, and Jesus no doubt takes care of Mary as they live together at Nazareth in that simple, uneventful town of Nazareth. Not a whole lot going on Main Street Nazareth. It's probably not even paved. And there he is, growing up. And then he comes out into his public ministry, and already the Jewish leaders are plotting to kill him. You remember, they tried to throw him over the ledge outside of Nazareth. I have spoken nothing but the truth. I have done nothing but good deeds among you. For which one of my good deeds do you wish to kill me? He said to the Sanhedrin the night of his trial. The wolves were converging. But you notice something very important going on in Jesus. Never once does he become a wolf. Never once. The whole time he's among us, he's trampling this world, the one you and I live in, this very world where the powerful prey upon the weak, the unjust oppress those inheriting the promises, and the dragon is going after the children of the woman. He comes into this world and he's trampling it under his feet and remains a ewe. He leads the ewes, the lambs, with care. But what if I become a wolf? Well, our first leader in the faith tried to become a wolf on Thursday in the garden. He pulled out his sword. He started to try to chop, cut off Malchus's ear. And Jesus said to him, "Peter, put that sword away. You're becoming a wolf, Peter. And you might end up trying to take on the chief shepherd. And Peter, you're going to lose. Don't do that. I'm trampling this world under my feet, so it's completely subjected to me." There is a perspective upon the cross, for example, where we have a defeated man there. It looks once again as though the powerful have preyed upon a weak man and trampled him underfoot like a rug. And the world would look at that and say, "I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a rug that people walk over." But see, what they don't realize is, Mark tells us, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's trampling our world under his feet. We're not trampling him. He's trampling our world under his feet. This entire world is under judgment by Christ crucified. And that's what's happening as he goes up Calvary. Looks like a wasted, defeated man, stamped under our feet. And what is he doing? He's going 110% in favor of the Father's will. And not once does he get impatient with us. You ever meditated on that? Can you imagine that? We gave him every reason in the book going up Calvary alone. Never mind everything that went before that. We gave him every reason in the book to just throw up his hands going up Calvary and saying, you know what? I am done with you people. I've had enough of you. Every single reason in the book we could have thrown at him, we did. And he didn't lose his patience. He was a kind, gentle, loving lamb in the midst of wolves. And it was a bloody mess. And then the Father raised him from the dead, completely victorious. And you know, Mary testifies to this as well. Isn't it amazing how calm you can become when you take up the rosary? She too was a lamb among wolves. She didn't start to self-assert, push back. She was relying upon the providence of God and doing His will. But that doesn't mean she was weak. And I realize in our world, yes, we do get some people that are maniacal with power, like Adolf Hitler. We all know about him. You know what? A guy like that had to be stood up to with power. There's only one way to beat a guy like that, and greater power. And that's what happened. We had a world war. Well, you know what? Who's even worse than Adolf Hitler? Is Satan himself. This creature is bent on destroying everything God loves. And God loves you and me. And so Satan is bent on destroying us just to get at God. That's how he is. And I'll tell you one thing for sure on the cross. Jesus spared nothing when it came to beating this creature down to nothing. And he trampled Satan under his feet, vanquishing him, so we would go free. He was not kind when it came to Satan. Just as we couldn't be kind with Adolf Hitler. The man was maniacal in terms of his thirst for power. He had to be stopped. We had to step up to him. And maybe I used to tell some of the ladies that I would see when I was in the university, sometimes, you know, if your boyfriend's starting to reach into the cookie jar, you got to slap his hand. That's necessary sometimes in a fallen world. Yes, we might need to, for the sake of the good that we can do, push back. And be ready to do that. But brothers and sisters, be careful. As we continue to walk through this Advent season, be mindful of the fact that the world around us is passing away. It's not the ultimate end or goal of your life. It isn't. It could never be. It will utterly disappoint you because it's slipping through your fingers and you can't stop it. And what you discover as you let it slip through your fingers is an eternal living God with his arms wide open on the horizon saying, come to me. Come to me. I'm your end and goal. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to be mindful of at Advent. Our Father who art in heaven has his arms wide open on the horizon, saying, come to me, my children. You're mine. And we have stability there. that doesn't just last for 70 or 80 years, but eternity, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying let's not care for the world, but let's not treat it as though this is all there is, because it isn't all there is. It's been trampled under feet. It has now come under the judgment of Christ crucified, which states, "You shall not last." Because there's a new heaven and there's a new earth coming. And what I'm living for is what Peter talks about in the second reading today. Take a look at that reading if you get a chance. Pray over that reading. What kind of people, what sort of persons ought you to be, Peter asks. Since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be, conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and even hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? Hastening it? I don't know. If I'm speaking for myself, some days I kind of feel like I'm going along kicking and screaming. And he's patient. You know, in a world that is convinced it needs to find its own voice, I don't know why, but there's one voice we're not permitted to hear, and it's the voice of Christ calling us and saying, on behalf of the Father, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome. Advent is a great time to do that, brothers and sisters. And I invite you all, take stock of your lives. Where are you at with that? Where are you at with that? And as best as you can, seek to understand your relationship with God and where it is. And maybe, what does it need? I don't know. It could be different for everyone here. But don't be afraid to start to put that forward. Whatever it is, I don't know what that is for you. But Advent's a great time to find out.